Jacqueline, and welcome, Cheryl. Jacqueline, your comment about admin job for both Ken and Cheryl, how they make the appearance seem a lot easier than it actually is. It kind of struck a funny chord with me. I once took a job at Christmas time, at the holiday time, with UPS, and I was like the helper delivering packages. And that was one of those instances where certainly, oh my goodness, I had such an appreciation for UPS drivers or FedEx drivers or, you know, those kind of jobs afterwards. And it's, you know, until you walk a mile in another man's shoes, you just don't know. And I had a blast with it, but at the same time, it was like, wow, I had no idea. I had no idea. And one of the biggest issues at the time was dogs, you know, having to go up to people's homes and dogs that would be in the yard, just like charging at you as if they were going to, you know, bite your arm off. And, you know, and I love dogs, but that sort of an approach is often, you know, quite frightening. And so even like to walk in faith and trust in those situations was, challenging for me, at least. And I can see how there's such a deep appreciation when we can stop and really, if not participate in, but at least listen to what other people have to do to in the world, you know, to make a living, for instance, and show gratitude for how, in a universal way, you know, I benefit from the UPS man coming to my door with a package I ordered from Amazon, for instance. And it's easy to take those things for granted. And so in your saying that, yeah, it just made me stop and feel grateful, even for those in this room who pick up the mic and share, no matter, you know, where that might be on your journey, whether it's a personal story of transformation, whether it's a situation that you're having difficulty with, whether it's a new understanding as a result of a teaching, whether it's a wonderful audio or video or any of that. I so appreciate the sharing that does in fact go on in our room, and I feel grateful for all of you. So one of the things I'm going to ask is that, you know, after I leave, when my hour is up, I will be going to join my daughter and son-in-law and my son in Laguna Niguel to spend the day with them. And I ask for each of us to remember, as Jacqueline shared in her talk this morning, remember self above all else. Remember who I am. Remember what truth is. And let me see that reflection no matter the circumstance, good or bad. I don't know. I rest in I don't know. And trust that each of us, as we go through our day, not just hearing the words that Jacqueline spoke to this morning, and everybody's in their sharing, but putting it into practice. And I know that in reaching out for love and support, that will happen. And so I'm doing that in an audible way. With that being said, I'm going to go right to Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is the book I've been reading. Gosh, I don't know. I can't even tell you how long I've been reading this book. This is my second time through, and I love this book. I absolutely love this book, and we are in a section in particular that touches my heart. It's Eva Bell Werber, Chapter 5. And this particular series of direct quotes that were chosen by Michael Langford from Eva Bell Werber's book, The Voice of the Master, is spoken in a way, like a direct way, where I get the sense that Jesus is speaking directly to me. There's not like a person like Eva Bell Werber, for instance, interpreting what Jesus is saying. It's more like she was the channel for this voice and took it down exactly as it was. And this voice seemed to be speaking in a direct way, as if you're having a conversation with, somebody in the room. And we're starting on page 148. And this particular section is called Awaken to the Truth. And that right away points to Jacqueline's sharing, Awaken to the Truth, awaken to who we really are, letting go of any attachment to personhood or false self, and noticing that voice tries to get our attention and turning away from that awakening truth instead. So, okay, as children go about their little plays, so does the world of men move on. I'm on page one top in Awaken to the Truth. Okay, again, as children go about their little plays, even so, you didn't catch that? I'm on page 148. Got it? Cheryl, did you catch that? 148, okay. Awaken to the Truth. I must have needed to read this for the fourth time. As children go about their little plays, even so does the world of men move on. Wars, tumults, joys, sadness, lying, cheating, and making commerce, all activities in the realm of mortal living continue. But it is only a dream, a passing dream in the night, a terror like that which wakens a child from its sleep. You shall awaken to the truth of your own being, to the conscious knowledge of what life, which is real and eternal, actually means. As long as you stand in the fullness of that knowing, you rest in peace and quietness, though outwardly you are in the midst of tumult. Oh, you rest in the divine arms of love eternal, and look out upon the passing show with compassion, with a sure knowing that back of it all stands a reality which is all sweetness, love, joy, and gladness of heart. Be still now, so that I may wash and cleanse your heart, so that it shall glow sweetly all day and the vibration you give forth shall be of the highest. Oh, okay. So my heart is being touched right now, and I'm a little teary-eyed, so hang with me. This next piece is called Have No Fear. Why are you so fearful for this or that? And, you know, earlier, this is my comment earlier, there were many wonderful inquiry questions that were written on the board during Jacqueline's sharing, as well as some of the people that shared. And in the very question, you know, why are you so fearful for this or that? The question that came to mind immediately after I read that was, you know, who would be fearful? Who is the one who would be fearful? Is that you? Is that the truth of you, which is what you really are? Is that self fearful? And with that simple inquiry question, I can immediately recognize and turn away from that fear back to the vibration of the highest, which is not fearful. It would be love. There would be no fear there. So again, why are you so fearful for this or that? Why question when you know that you can turn within instantly for all strength and all wisdom? Yeah. Rest now in my love, my fullness. Rest and relax, my beloved. In the twilight hush, you shall hear the sweetness of my voice, and it shall soon be that evening hour will be so rich and so love-filled that it shall be as a rare gem which you shall hold close to your heart. In the twilight hush, one of my favorite course lessons, the hush of heaven holds my heart today. I've always just loved that one. And God himself shall wipe away all tears. Those have always felt like such comforting, sweet, gentle affirmations of the presence of love within myself, as myself. And remembering that self, being attentive to that self. Chapter 1, the most direct means to eternal bliss. Number 88, yourself deserves your attention. Turning to that self where the rest and relaxation is, where the sweetness of my voice is. Yeah. Again, in the twilight hush, you shall hear the sweetness of my voice, and it shall soon be that the evening hour will be so rich and love-filled that it shall be as a rare gem which you shall hold close to your heart. There will be a peace which you shall carry with you into the night, and as tomorrow's path again opens out before you, you shall go eagerly to meet the new day, rejoicing that at its close you may once more have the quietness of a sweet communion with me. Even so, you shall carry no fear in your heart as you look forward to these new days. For before you meet them, you shall know that if you so live in close fellowship with me, they will be friendly, love-filled, protected days. Oh, I'm going to read that again. And again, if anybody's forgotten, our lesson today is in fearlessness and love I spend today. Thanks, Karen, for letting me know. Yes, my mic has been dropping. I appreciate you letting me know. Again, even so, you shall carry no fear in your heart as you look forward to these new days. For before you meet them, you shall know that if you so live in close fellowship with me, they will be friendly, love-filled, protected days. Calm that disturbed, hard, laboring mind of yours. Oh, man. Disturbed, hard, laboring mind. I mean, to think that our attention is most often focused there, and the weight that that picture, that these words brings, you know, that hard, laboring mind that, you know, like Jacqueline was saying this morning, that, you know, wonders how the bills will be paid, wonders how everything's going to flow so that it's smooth, wondering how it's all going to get done on time, wondering how it's all going to work out, wondering how someone's going to react to me, wondering whether, I mean, on and on and on and on, you know, caught up in that mind that doesn't have any answers to any of those questions, and simply is like the ladle stirring the stew of fear, hoping that, you know, you keep sipping that fear pot. You keep testing it to see if, you know, the blend is okay so that we can keep our defenses, you know, on guard, you know, keep your antenna tuned all outwardly in defense of the false self, the habitual conditioned self that sees things from a past point of view and milks that story into a present moment, which in fact covers over the truth of what is that mind. That mind. And here it is. The instruction, calm that disturbed, hard, laboring mind of yours. Go back within yourself, where I, the Lord of all wisdom, and that's what Jacqueline said this morning. So what do? When you're noticing these thoughts, you go within and you ask wisdom, what am I to do now? And as Karen Wirth talked about in her meditation this morning, if you're noticing impatience, you simply wait. You notice the impatience and you continue to ask while waiting. And I think it was Christina that said, if you ask a question with devotion and with sincerity and trust, you get an answer. And maybe it doesn't appear like right now when I want it. Maybe it takes a few days or a few weeks or a few months. But we're assured over and over and over that by stripping away everything that's coming up and noticing it and then giving it over and letting it go, we finally get to the bottom of the pot where it's all been burned up and purified. And we rest, we merge with who we truly, truly are and stay there. There's not the fear, not the doubt, not the hard laboring mind constantly, shouting, I say you do. There's no more of that. And when we notice it still, we go back within ourselves, where I, the Lord of all wisdom, am always dwelling. Pause there as one in great thirst. Pause there as one in great thirst pauses at a fountain and takes a long drink of cool water. Or like, Michael Langford gives the metaphor of the person that's holding their breath underwater. And you're underwater for, 30 seconds and you're, doing okay. And you get to a minute and you're like, or whatever it is for each of us. And, you get to a minute and a half and you're like, oh my God, the intensity to take a breath becomes much more intense. And this is saying, that increase your desire for liberation to the extent that that person underwater is desiring to catch their breath, knowing that that breath is the air in which you're safe. All wisdom is. Your life is. Pause there as one in great thirst pauses at a fountain and takes a long drink of cool water or a deep breath of fresh air. So shall you pause and drink long and deeply of this eternal wisdom of mine. Then, thus fortified, you shall go again about the business of your daily living. And I'll just say for myself, first thing in the morning, fortification seems most effective for facilitating a day where I remember more, my intention is stronger, my resolve is greater, the recalling of attention is quicker. I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. Okay, here I am again. I think the mic dropped, but I caught it. But paying attention, and that's that pausing and drinking from eternal wisdom. That's being centered with awareness. That's resting there, and being open and guided within the world. That going about the business of your daily living because you're fortified by your devotion to staying in awareness and not being distracted by external activities. You will learn how real this inner life which you are living is. Yeah. And that's important. You will learn how real this inner life which you are living is. And how do we do that? By living it. By living it. By actually trying it. And just doing it. Remembering it. Sometimes you will seem shut away from the glory of the felt presence within you. And you will feel an utter blackness. You shall then realize the power and force of the inner realm when you contact it. Again, you shall then realize the power and force of the inner realm when you contact it. And, as we live this life, there do come moments when darkness, utter blackness, it calls it, utter blackness. Darkness seems to be external in some way, shape, or form, and internal in the mind. But that living, that commitment to living that presence, provides like a different experience, an opportunity for that to arise as a direct experience in the living of your own personal life. And it is what fortifies us to turn again that way. Stay there. Stay with that power, that force that was glimpsed. But the sense of it was so strong, so undeniable, so felt, that there's enough there that we continue to look that way instead. We know. Deep down, it's the answer. No matter what seems to be going on the outside. And the next piece is called Still the Mind. I would that you might more and more still your mind. So much time is lost because even as the tiny butterfly darts here and there, yet going nowhere. So does your human mind run hither and thither. It keeps you occupied with trivial things, while the soul, the living presence within, must wait to give you gems that shall shine more radiant than the sun. The love in your heart. Listen, for I would have you recognize me, the great one within your own being. Take time to live in that knowing and to love me. Until you are submerged in and by that love. Then all your being shall be love, and you shall draw only love to yourself. To draw love to you is not done by striving. or by seeking for it in the without. Not even your longing or need for it will bring it to you. It will come by being very still and opening the door of your heart into the room where I dwell. There you will find me, all love and sweetness, all companionship. Peace. The room is still. So, likewise, in your heart, while my voice is tender and low within, the outer world seems to hold all but that which is peaceful. The outer, which is but a symbol, need not trouble you, for all reality lies within the heart. You are reality. The real you is always peace, quietness, poise. Thanks. Again, here's the question. The question is, so why trouble over that which seems so different than peace, quietness, and poise? You say, Lord, it seems so real that it troubles and hurts. But I say to you, if your eyes are holden and full of the picture of death and despair, you will always see the mere seeming as reality. When you find yourself getting caught up in these conditions, turn to me, for I am there, always waiting. And in that second's turning, your world will right itself. You will find it is in its essential nature. Peace. For remember, I am peace. The peace shall become the reality for you. So, after all, the secret of peace is a simple one. Dwell with me, partaking of my divine nature, and you shall only know peace as you walk the pathway of life. I was thinking about that Regina's sharing this morning, and her speaking about the I, and this is what I heard her say in regards to that. And I could be wrong, but that from the absolute to consciousness, she was contemplating when one is aware of themselves as consciousness, as that self, um, seems to have been, I'm going to call it the first split from the absolute. And that is also the reflection of love knowing only itself, awareness aware only of awareness. That idea that there's only that, there's not anything other than that. And I think Jacqueline said, awareness, like looking only for itself, because that's all there is anyway. But there seems to be a looking for this only thing. But standing even before that, even before this, what seems to be a personal self with consciousness, and an understanding of this consciousness that seems to be the background of consciousness, but it's the same consciousness. And then before that, the absolute, which is, you know, I don't even know. It's, it, you know, I don't even know. That's what this was saying to me. The peace shall become the reality for you. The peace is the reality for you. It's still that consciousness that is aware of itself, but the absolute consciousness is before that. I mean, that's my present understanding, and I could be wrong about that. And I don't even know that it matters. All I know that matters is that I am to dwell there in this place of peace, partaking of my own divine nature. And that's how I will know peace completely, where the merging of this seeming knowing or even intellectual understanding or living as that, there will be such a perfect merging that God himself will, that's still on the bridge, but God himself takes the final step. This particular piece is called Within Yourself. It was talking about the secret of peace in the last paragraph, saying it's a simple one. And this is starting off by saying this secret of peace, this knowing, is only attained by a few. For only a few will be very still before me, allowing me to show them the truth. That's, you know, seems like such an accurate statement to me. And I, just on a personal level, I used to have some resentment around that statement, because somehow I could, in my mind, there was the judgment that I wasn't one of those very few. And again, self-inquiry would say, whose voice is that telling you that? Who would be the one to say? Yet we're told from many different teachers that without devotion, without complete dedication to waking up to the truth, there may be happy experiences of that knowing, as Jacqueline spoke to today, and then falling back into noticing being out of alignment, and then, you know, having more experiences of the true self. And there's that vacillation still going on, purification still happening, but not the complete merging and acceptance of self as reality, as truth, as love, as divine nature, as all there is. Um, even though we're told the secret of peace is a simple one, there are many, many ego preservation strategies we come up against, we bump up against. And Jacqueline spoke to all those as opportunities in the world where instead of being upset by them, those, you know, pictures of death and despair talked about in the previous page, those darkened images we see outside of ourselves, all of those are opportunities, dark opportunities nonetheless, but opportunities to see the light. To see the light. Sometimes it has to get pretty dark before there's that, you know, aha, oh, hey, here it is again. It's here for my healing. I'm going to stop right now wherever I am, even if it's just for a, you know, a few seconds. I can even close my eyes. No, I can be behind a pair of sunglasses and nobody would even see. I can say a mantra in my mind. I can turn my direction away from a feeling I might have that's arising, an uncomfortableness, whatever it might be. We have all kinds of simple tools, thank God, that we can use if we remember to do so. And our intense desire for liberation keeps us practicing those things until they're no longer needed, until the purification is so clear that the merging process into the truth of who I really am, always, without vacillation, becomes, quote, the norm. But it's saying right now, this secret, this big secret, which is a simple one, this knowing is only attained by a few, for only a few will be very still for me, allowing me to show them the truth. Man has closed the door which would lead to his freedom. This freedom he can only have by attaining this high consciousness. This is a practice which must be faithfully met. Though the world calls you, it shall not draw you at all, for you have found your true life source in me. We don't need that weak personal self. It will be a glorious path over which we travel. Go forth now, walking further down that shining way with me. Yeah. I was laughing but when I'm showing a home for sale, I am hypersensitive to presenting my home in the best light that I possibly can. If my purpose is to sell my home, and I'm given advice to, for instance, you know, put the toaster away and the food processor and the coffee pot and the utensils and the dish rack and pick up the rugs and da 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 da, vacuum, you know, all of that stuff. I was thinking about how that was such a metaphor for my own in and out attentiveness, and how the vacuuming is, you know, picking up whatever dirt might be there, how putting all the stuff away into a pantry gives the appearance of a clean countertop that has, you know, as if you live that way with nothing on your countertop, which I don't live that way, but, you know, it gives the appearance of making things bigger and cleaner and people can envision their own stair and blah, blah, blah. And how I've been doing this for 6 months now. And I was noticing my impatience, Karen Worth. I spoke to patients this morning. And I said to the real estate agent, something. She said, "Keep your fingers crossed." And I said to her, "I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm ready to get this done." Because, on a feeling level, first of all, I have a big house and I do the work myself because I choose to, but I'm physically tired. And oftentimes my husband is traveling, so the seeming weight of it falls on me, inside and outside. And it's a lot, which is one of the reasons why we're selling the house. And how I view that quote burden, how I feel that weight. And how I go back and forth in my mind as I'm cleaning. Some days I'm cleaning my mind at the same time. And so we, and then I was also thinking, like, you know, you're shoving all this stuff into your, into your cabinets, wherever you can put the stuff. You know, and for my dog, I have like stuff on my couch because my dog is like pooping out the back end sometimes when he shouldn't be, and you know, barfing when he's old, and you know how that goes. And so I protect my stuff. But when you're showing a house, you're like putting all that away and washing it, and I've been doing this over and over and over, but it doesn't go away. So in my mind, it's like the grievances that, you know, you shove under the rug, that you act like they're not there, that you pretend it's healed, that you refuse to look at, that you deny are in your mind, that you're less than honest with yourself about. And I'm speaking about myself here and how all of this has been a metaphor for everything going on the last 6 months. And I'm laughing at myself because then I drag all that back out after a showing. And, you know, people go their merry way. They don't particularly like the house, which is, you know, that's how it goes, that there's something for everyone. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. But it seems to, in this process, I have to participate or not. And so yesterday, we had a second showing, and the couple were measuring things. And so that's always a good sign. And I really have no expectations, you know, one way or another. It is what it is, and I'm willing to be with what is, be at peace with it. And what I've taken to doing is when I am cleaning the clutter, that is an opportunity to clean my mind. If I am engaged in an activity, a long time ago, I had some guidance, clean your mind. When you're feeling that resentment come up, or you're feeling the burden of it all, clean your mind. And that simply is very helpful advice, even as I seem to be stuffing things back into the closet. I'm cleaning my mind. I can drag it back out and look at it again. This is my life. These are my issues. These are the things that are appearing. It's not about not noticing those moments of darkness, those times when I'm sad, those anxiety-driven, you know, interactions, those conditioned, responses, those, you know, whatever it is, whatever the whatever it is that's going on, watching all of it intently as much as I possibly can from the place of stillness, from the place of illness. And when I'm out of stillness, redirecting my attention back to the stillness that's still, still, that's patient in allowing everything to appear as it's appearing, to be experienced as it's experienced, to be seen as it's seen, loving it all. We've been asked to use the loving all method, if that works for you. Just love it all. How do I know bad is bad? How do I know? How do I know that? Only a past reference point would tell me that. Is that a reference point that has given me peace, joy, everything that's been spoken about? You know, this, that this, you know, simple secret of peace, this simple door that's opened by my living in faith and trust. That is reality. I can see that. Because it's my reality. And if it doesn't appear to be my reality, I'm looking at a reflection that's not true. I'm looking at the mirror as if that's the truth. And it's not. I'm simply mistaken. That's the weak personal self. Hanging on. Instead, it says, go to the glorious path, your true life source. Walk down the shining way with me. Turn away from all of that conditioning. Don't listen to that voice that says, turn to me. I have the answer. You know it doesn't. Ever. So it's within ourselves we turn to the stillness. And this next piece, which is the last of what I will be reading, is called My Completeness. At night, you lay aside the day-worn garments, even so as you come to my altar to refresh your soul. You shall lay aside the body concepts. Yeah, that, you know, you lay aside the day-worn garments. I mean, there, as I say, there are days, you know, where physically I'm very, very tired. And I'm just always so grateful to lay my body down for rest. But the real refreshment is when I go within. And that can be, you know, we can offer up that nighttime. I offer up my nighttime sleep. Hey, you know, I just say to Holy Spirit, use this time too. That's a huge block of time. Use it. You know, I'm open. Use that too. Because I want to, you know, expand the refreshing altar of awareness in my direct experience. So you use my nighttime dreams too. So again, at night you lay aside the day-worn garments. Even so, as you come to my altar to refresh your soul, you shall lay aside the body concepts. You shall lay aside the weariness, the thought of struggle or failure, even the thought of trying to be like me, whom you so long to reflect. You shall put from you. You shall only rest perfectly in me and in the sure knowing that I am the real you. So shall you drink deep of my completeness, more and more. You shall separate yourself from personalities. If you keep yourself centered and closed to that which is purely personal, these things that cause confusion shall not disturb you. And that is so, it's so important. If you keep yourself centered and close to that which is purely personal, closed to that which is purely personal, these things that cause confusion shall not disturb you. Every, you know, and all I'm going to say about that is everything that's purely personal is confusion. And this is saying, close off from that and center yourself, keep yourself focused inward, inward. You know, separated from the personalities. Again, that's purely personal. Confusion. And that's how we lay aside weariness, thoughts of struggle and failure, trying to be like me, whom you so long to reflect, instead of the reflection. We are that. We're not the reflection. We are that. Okay, guys, my time is up. I ended on page 154. I thank you all for being here with me. I'm trusting all of you to be here with me all day, every day, in awareness. Amen. Hugs to everybody. Love you guys. I'm giving up the mic, and I will be on my phone listening. Giving up the mic.